Hi there. I'm James. I'm the pastor of the Glenwood Moravian Community Church here in Madison, Wisconsin. And this is The Essentials, our podcast to explore our faith, to ask questions and wrestle with doubts, and hopefully celebrate some good news that we see in the world. For this episode, I have our lesson and our message from Sunday, June 9th. Our gospel lesson came from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 20 through 35, and we used the Living Bible translation. When he returned to the house where he was staying, the crowds began to gather again, and soon it was so full of visitors that he couldn't even find time to eat. When his friends heard what was happening, they came to try and take him home with them. "He's out of his mind," they said. But the Jewish teachers of religion who had arrived from Jerusalem said, "His trouble is that he's possessed by Satan, king of demons. That's why demons obey him." Jesus summoned these men and asked them, using proverbs they all understood, "How can Satan cast out Satan? A kingdom divided against itself will collapse. A home filled with strife and division destroys itself. And if Satan is fighting against himself, how can he accomplish anything? He would never survive. Satan must be bound before his demons are cast out, just as a strong man must be tied up before his house can be ransacked and his property robbed. I solemnly declare that any sin of man can be forgiven, even blasphemy against me. But blasphemy against the Holy Spirit can never be forgiven. It is an eternal sin." He told them this because they were saying he did his miracles by Satan's power, instead of acknowledging that it was by the Holy Spirit's power. Now his mother and brothers arrived at the crowded house where he was teaching, and they sent word for him to come out and talk with them. "Your mother and brothers are outside and want to see you," he was told. He replied, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Looking at those around him, he said, "These are my mother and my brothers. Anyone who does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother." Here ends the reading of the word. So Jesus has some pretty interesting things to say about family in our gospel lesson. I've always been close with my family, not just in the sense of relationship, but often being close to each other. I went to a small K through 12 school growing up, and my mom was a kindergarten teacher in the building. So I'd plot routes even in high school. Between classes, I'd go by her room to say hi to her, but more importantly, to raid her snack cabinet and find some goldfish. My dad was my boss at Dairy Queen and my coach for many sports. When I went off to college at UW Stevens Point, my older brother was a senior there on the cross country and track teams with me. Even when I graduated college, I moved in with him to start life after school. So the furthest I've been from my family would undoubtedly be when I went to seminary in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. That was a big leap for an introverted guy who had always had family close by, to move across the country where I knew absolutely no one. And I learned a lot about the family you come to find in your life. I remember having two hurdles to climb on that very first day. The first was to tackle a restaurant called Johnny's Bagels. It was a sandwich shop that was on my block and directly on my path to school. So I had heard about it. I thought I'd embrace the city, embrace living in a new area. I'd grab a sandwich on my way to class. But it kind of has the energy of an East Coast sandwich shop. It's people commuting to work. It's loud. It's a little chaotic. And you have to know exactly what you want. There is no time to think or ask questions. I was a little out of my element. So I stood in line, memorizing my order, watching this hustle and bustle and routine in front of me. people barking orders, cooks shouting in response. I get to the front, just a pool of nerves, praying that I do this thing correctly. And before I can get a word out, the man behind the counter just says, "Hey, boss, what can I get for you?" with a big smile. There was just something in that greeting, how it was familiar, even though I'd never been there before. "Hey, boss." It unlocked a sense of ease and comfort. It felt like I belonged there. That feeling of being welcomed was outdone just a few moments later. I enjoyed my sandwich on the mile walk to seminary. But as I got closer, I started to double and triple check my email to check out the schedule to make sure I knew which classroom orientation was going to be in. I was wondering if I'd like my classmates, would anyone talk to me? You know, those classic first day of school anxieties. With all these thoughts racing through my head, I opened the front door, and right from around the corner came Greg Barrett, who's now a pastor at a ministry called You Belong in Green Bay. He saw me, smiled, and said, "Brother James, it's so good to see you," before wrapping me up in his trademark bear hug. From day one, I'm his brother. And immediately a weight was off my shoulders. My family might have been over 1,000 miles away, but I had a feeling that people would embrace me and look after me here. And that was my introduction to something I've found is very common in Moravian circles, especially within clergy circles, that we refer to each other as brother or sister. You'd be amazed how something so simple can have such an impact. To hear that, to feel it, and embrace it, that you are their sibling and they're going to take care of you. That's the type of family Jesus is describing in our lesson, saying that we are meant to care for each other. And this goes far beyond who we might be related to. It's more than walking into a bagel shop and feeling comfortable. It's more than settling in on the first day of school. It's about giving people a sense of belonging, giving them the assurance that they're not alone. Now, it can sound harsh in our lesson, the way Jesus almost brushes off his mother and his brothers in this moment. It doesn't sound like he's treating his actual family very well. But the truth is, this moment isn't about his literal family. It's not about how he cares for them, because we know eventually, as he hangs on the cross with a few of his dying breaths, he will take care of his mother. This interaction here, it's about expanding who we think of when we think about our family. Who is it that we're responsible for? Who do we care for? The care that we have for our siblings and for our parents, that I would do anything for my family type of feeling, that should be how we feel about all people. Now, that's an uplifting feeling when you've had a positive family experience. When you feel like you have a strong relationship with your family, the world looks a bit different as you imagine sharing that sense of kinship with more than just the people you're related to. But think about how it feels to hear that for those who grew up in broken homes, who are still dealing with pain that their family has caused, who have those complicated relationships, to know that they have true love and support from real family that they just might not be related to. Because the truth is, sometimes we end up choosing our own family. And Jesus is saying that those relationships, they are as precious and divine as the ideal traditional family that we dream of. A few years later, on another day of firsts, I had a similar sense of anxiety as I was installed as the pastor here at Glenwood. I had left a church family behind, and I was wondering how I would be embraced here. The trombone choir here at Glenwood managed to find a piece of music called Brother James' Air, and they played it for our first Sunday together. Day one, Brother James, family. And I felt that ever since, true kinship, even though we aren't related. People here have looked after me and my family as if we were their own. That's a unique quality here at Glenwood, the way this community welcomes newcomers and embraces them as siblings, not guests or strangers. They make people feel like they've gone here forever when it's just their first Sunday. Taking this new definition of family from Jesus and making it a reality. People feel incredibly accepted here. Part of that first year of seminary within one of our classes was to visit different churches. I essentially spent my first year attending a different church every Sunday. And you would be amazed how many churches said the right thing on their website, printed the right thing in their bulletin, how they're welcoming and inclusive and loving. And then when you visit on a Sunday morning, they are just ice cold. And we live in a time when churches seem to be defined by who they keep out, when they feel like a club that is impossible to get into. Here at this congregation, people feel like they are at home. And I think we can be the family that people are searching for. For young adults who are still looking for their path, for the right major, for the right job, the right partner, for those who might feel like they're getting a sense of pressure from their family that they should have it all figured out by now. They'd be welcome to journey as their complete and honest selves here. Maybe for those who are a little bit older, who are caught in this web of trying to base their place in life on where their friends are at. Should I be married by now? Should I own a home? Should I have kids? Am I getting left behind? Here, they'd feel like they're right on track with the pace that works for them. And for those, especially this month, who see pride flags around town and know that that house or that business supports them, and then is reminded that that support isn't something they get from their own family. They'd be embraced for who they are here. And for those who feel like they have no spiritual home, like they're wandering, questioning, wrestling with doubts, and they feel like they don't belong at a church, they'd be welcome to wander and wrestle here. In this time when a sense of loneliness is increasing, when we miss those real connections, we can see what friends have had for dinner on social media. We can like their post, we can send a text, but it feels like ages since we had a meaningful conversation. Family is everything when it comes to reminding you that you are not alone. And it's part of the DNA here at Glenwood to see someone new as brother, sister, as beloved sibling, and to truly mean it. I think that's a breath of fresh air in the Christian church today. I think people are desperate to find that place where they belong, where they feel accepted. And I wonder who we can invite to be part of our family here. Amen. But thank you for listening to another episode. If you want to learn more about the church that I serve, that's Glenwood Moravian, find our website, follow us on Facebook. You can join us for worship on YouTube. Then you'll hear more than just the sermon, but you'll hear the beautiful music as well. If you want to learn more about the Moravian Church, go check out moravian.org. So take care, be well. I'll catch you next time.